For the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you about how can we overcome our doubts. Some time back, former talk show host Johnny Carson visited Harvard University to receive an award. And after the ceremony, he agreed to answer some questions from the members of the press. One reporter asked, "What would you like to have inscribed on your tombstone?" Johnny Carson thought for just about a second, and then he answered with these words that he uses before every commercial break on his television show. He wanted his tombstone to say, "I'll be right back." Throughout the pages of the Gospels, we see how much the disciples loved Jesus. They loved him so much that they would do anything for him. But that does not mean that they always understood what he was saying. Jesus told the disciples that he would be put to death and then he would be right back in 3 days. The disciples tried to understand, but for some reason they just didn't. The disciples were very confused on the evening of that first Easter. They were still trying to make sense out of what had happened. They were meeting behind locked doors. They were afraid. They talked in muffled tones. What had happened to Jesus could very well happen to them. Every time they heard a noise, they thought that someone was coming to haul them away to prison. It reminds me of a football story that Dennis Watley tells of a Fiesta Bowl a few years ago when Penn State and Miami competed for the national title. Penn State leaked out a 14-10 victory that included a nail-biting goal-line stand in the last closing minutes of the game. Somehow, Penn State's stubborn defense managed to hold off the Miami talented quarterback, Vinny Testaverde, one last time to thwart the Hurricanes' final, the desperate attempt to pull out the victory. In the frenzied jubilation following the final gun, the TV cameras zeroed in on various players, including one of Penn State's All-American linebackers. He accredited Penn State's hard-hitting defensive backs with the victory. He said, "You know, Miami receivers just didn't want to catch that ball. They heard footsteps all day long, and they just didn't want to get hit again." I guess we could say that the disciples were hearing footsteps like that. They were very frightened. But suddenly, out of nowhere, Jesus appeared in the midst of them. He showed them his hands and his feet and greeted them with the familiar words, "Peace be with you." Their response was probably not peaceful at all. No one was supposed to know where they were hiding. How did Jesus find them? How did he enter without using the door? The disciples were anxious, afraid, and uncertain of what would happen next. Yet here was the Master right in their midst. And he was alive, and slowly they began to calm down. And then they rejoiced. The presence of Jesus unlocks the door of fear. That's the first thing that happens when people meet the risen Christ. He takes away fear. Just as when the disciples began to relax and then to enjoy and rejoice, he is alive. Rebecca Manley Pippert recalls the time when she first came to the faith. Up until that time, she had been afraid that if she surrendered her life to God, he would take away her identity. Even worse, she was afraid that she'd become somewhat strange in the process. She thought of religious persons she had known and wasn't sure that she wanted to be like them. She wondered what changes she would have to make in her life. Would she have to give up her love of jazz music? Would she have to act religious all the time? Would her friends recognize her? Her worst fear was that her friends would reject her as having become slightly demented. In her mind, she would hear the taunts of her friends. Too bad about Becky. She used to be so much fun. But Becky knew that something just wasn't right in her life. Something was missing. There was an inner restlessness, an emptiness, a longing that never left her. Something was definitely missing. But she was afraid of the changes that Christ would require of her. When she finally did come to the faith, Christ filled her emptiness and removed her fear. And she was filled with a newfound sense of joy. And that's what happens when folks come to know the risen Lord. He unlocks the doors of fear. The disciples were in hiding, frightened, listening for footsteps. But he came and stood amongst them, and then he said, "Peace be with you." And notice what happens next. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This was Jesus' way of commissioning the disciples for the work he needed them to do. The Holy Spirit would not come to them with power until the day of Pentecost, but Jesus was preparing them, getting them ready. They would no longer be disciples or learners, but apostles sent out in his behalf. They would be putting their lives on the line as his representatives. Jesus knew what awaited his disciples on the days ahead. He had unlocked doors of fear in their lives. And now he was sending them into the world to unlock those doors for others. But first of all, he wanted them to have a sure foundation. He wanted them to have an assurance, an inner witness to the faith that they proclaimed. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Which brings us to the second thing that happens when we meet Christ. He gives us a foundation that will not crumble. About 80 years ago, over in Japan asked the famous American architect Frank Lloyd Wright to design a hotel in Tokyo that would be capable of surviving an earthquake. When Frank Lloyd Wright visited Japan to inspect the site where the Imperial Hotel was to be built, he was appalled to find that the soil was only about 8 feet deep. Beneath that was 60 feet of soft mud that slipped and shook around like jelly. Every test hole he dug filled up immediately with water. Now, a lesser individual probably would have given up right there, but not Frank Lloyd Wright. Since the hotel was going to rest on fluid ground, Wright decided to build it like a ship. So instead of trying to keep the structure from moving during a quake, he incorporated features that would allow the hotel to ride out the shock without any damage. Wright also knew that the major cause of destruction after an earthquake was fire, because the water lines would break and there would be no way to put the fire out. And so he insisted on a large outdoor pool in the courtyard of the hotel, just in case. And then on September the 1st, 1923, Tokyo had the greatest earthquake in its history. There were fires all over the city and 140,000 people died. News reports were slow in getting to the United States in those days. One newspaper wanted to print the story that the Imperial Hotel had been destroyed, as rumor had it. But when the reporter phoned Frank Lloyd Wright about it, he said that they could print anything they wanted to as far as the story was concerned if they liked, but they would only have to retract it later. He knew the hotel would not collapse. Shortly afterwards, Wright got a telegram from Japan. The Imperial Hotel was completely undamaged. And when the fires that raged all around the hotel threatened to spread, bucket brigades kept the structure wetted down with water from the hotel's pool. Frank Lloyd Wright knew about foundations. So does Jesus. He does not want his followers out in the world witnessing to something that they have not really experienced for themselves. So he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit as an internal witness. We do not have to simply depend on a story that we heard long ago. God is forever fresh in our hearts. Christ takes away our fears. He gives us a foundation, and one more thing, he accepts us as we are. As the disciples were having this extraordinary experience with the risen Christ, one of them, Thomas, was off by himself. You know, some people simply deal best with stress or uncertainty when they are alone. For whatever reason, Thomas wasn't with the rest of the group when Jesus appeared that first Easter evening. When the other disciples caught up with Thomas, they told him that they had seen the risen Christ. They were filled with excitement and hope. Thomas wasn't quite sure he understood. He was trying hard to make sense out of their story, but what they told him was just too good to be true. It wasn't that Thomas didn't believe his friends, but he was a realist. He wasn't someone who believed in fairy tales. Thomas shook his head and said, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the marks of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A whole week went by with Thomas struggling and doubting if what his friends told him was actually true. But he continued to meet with the other disciples. Just because he didn't believe exactly as they did, didn't exclude him from their fellowship. Rather, he was allowed to voice his doubts within the faith community. Ruth Bell Graham, Mrs. Billy Graham, tells of a young man who was a lot like Thomas. He was part of a demonstration at one of her husband's crusades a number of years ago. The young man told everyone he talked to how much he disliked Billy Graham. When he was a young boy, his parents forced him to watch Billy Graham on television. This young man had heard Billy Graham's invitation many times before. When Billy Graham said to the crowd, "Hundreds of you will be coming forward to make your commitment to Christ." But the young man thought it was nothing but a gimmick. Yet something unexpected happened to him when he heard Billy Graham in person. He felt as though Billy Graham was speaking directly to him. And then came the invitation. "Hundreds of you will be coming forward to receive Christ." And the young man watched as people came from every corner of the stadium. He quickly left. But the next night, he was back. And when the invitation was made again, he was among those who went forward to give his life to the Lord. This young man ended up going to college and majoring in Bible. And he went to work for Billy Graham. It's all right to have doubts and questions. Christ accepts us just as we are, doubts and all. Thomas was not excluded because of his unbelief. A week later, while the disciples were meeting the risen Lord, Jesus once again appeared in their midst. This time Thomas was with the others, And he saw with his own eyes the Lord standing in front of him. And Jesus said to him, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. That was all it took. Thomas fell on his knees and exclaimed, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have come to believe. In our scripture for this morning in the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, the 19th through the 31st verses, John concludes the chapter telling us that these stories of Jesus are meant to lead people to the faith. Their aim is not to give information, but a new life. And John says, these are written so that you may believe in Jesus as the Messiah. Do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah? What's holding you back? Fear of looking foolish? He wants to free us from our fears. He wants to give us a foundation that will never crumble, and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He wants to meet us where we are right now, doubts and all. And he wants to open the doors for us that will lead us to a new lives with him. We all need our lives renewed by our Lord. We all go through times of doubt. Our living Lord wants us to be enthusiastic about our faith. He wants us to reach out to others who need their lives renewed. This morning, let's do it. Let's come to our risen Lord and ask forgiveness and dedicate our lives to reaching others for him. In a time of silent prayer, let's do it today. Let's renew our lives and our dedication to him. And during the time of silent prayer, just pray, Heavenly Father, forgive me. Come into my life and help me to find ways of helping others. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Our living Lord, come into our lives with power this morning, we pray. Help us to reach out to help others who need you. Help us to help others to come to church and find you in their lives. Forgive us and bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.